Well, welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. My guest today, everybody knows him, Jack Stork. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you, Chris.
Yes. How you been, Jack?
I've been fine.
Yeah. And you were telling me just before the show, you were walking down the street once with your... with your son?
Son-in-law,
yeah. Tell them about that.
Well, sir, I was just pointing out some of my former students as we was walking down the street, and he finally said, well, why don't you point out the ones that aren't your students, and then you wouldn't have to talk so much.
Yeah, so Jack, you were a teacher for 35 years, you said.
Correct,
yes.
Correct.
And you didn't grow up here in Jersey. Where'd you grow up at?
I grew up in southern Illinois, in Randolph County, a little farm between Sparta and Chester, Illinois.
So you were on a farm?
I grew up on a farm.
Okay. Yes. Big farm?
Big at that time.
Yeah.
Today
yeah.
It wouldn't be.
Yeah.
I went from there to the U of I and figured I was going to go back to the farm, but my brother, who's younger than I, was struggling a little bit in high school, and I figured he needed the farm and I had to do something else. So
I
switched over to education, ag education, because I thought, well, if you can't be on the farm, then what's best after that? I thought teaching them. So that's where I went.
So from the beginning, you always had a love of farming.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Tell me about that. What's that love of farming about?
It's, I guess, nature. God plays a lot of it, because you got to trust Him an awful lot, because you put the seed in the ground and hope it comes up, and you hope you get care of it well, and you get the rains for it, and you get a good harvest, and you repeat that cycle over and over again. You see life come and go.
Yeah, you know, I interviewed Doug Smith a few months ago, you know, and that's... You know, he tried farming, couldn't really make it because just wasn't lucrative enough for him. But his comment was, you know, everybody wanted to be a farmer.
Okay.
You know, it's like it was just natural.
Right. And that's sun up to sunset pretty much.
Yeah. So you went to Illinois. Then when you got out at the U of I, when you got out, where'd you go first to teach?
Okay, I student taught here in Jerseyville under Charlie Hamilton.
Okay.
In the spring of 67. And then when I graduated, I signed a contract with Minuck Dana Rutland up in Woodford County, north of Bloomington, about 30 miles, and taught there for 2 years, and got a call from Charlie Hamilton down at Jerseyville saying that they had an opening for an ag teacher, wanted to know if I was interested. And I said, well, send me the paperwork and I'll set up an interview. And he said, no. He said, if you want it, it's yours. And I was sitting with my superintendent in Minuck at the time. In fact, he took the call in to his phone and then gave it to me. And we were planning my ag budget for the following year, because when I started at Minuck, I had... They had 185 students in the high school, and I had 29 in ag, and then the second year I had 55 in ag, and we were planning my enrollment for the coming year was going to be up to 85. So I was going to have to drop from teaching. I taught chemistry and general science as well, and I had to give up the chemistry the second year, and then going to have to drop the general science and go full-time ag for the coming year. And that's what we was working on, a budget on that. And then after Charlie's call, I said, well, Mr. Yates, how do you go about putting in a resignation? And he goes, oh, man, I knew I shouldn't have answered that phone. So that's where it came. So I came back in the fall of 69.
But you wanted to come to Jerseyville.
Well, my wife grew up here.
Oh, okay.
Is her home area, and
did you meet her student teaching?
Here? No, afterwards.
Oh, afterwards.
yeah. But it was sort of a. I figured the school that I was at, 185 students, was going to have to consolidate, and all the other teachers around me in the surrounding schools had seniority over me. Jerseyville, when I student taught, we had 185 students in the ag program alone. So I thought security, two-man department, you know, there'd be a future. I didn't know what the future would hold at Monunk if they consolidated with the school around them and so forth. And lo and behold, they didn't consolidate until I retired. But anyway, that was hindsight.
Did you know that my nephew, Nate Lorton, teaches at Monunk?
I heard that. I heard he was north somewhere. Not at first at Monunk.
He lives at Monunk.
Fieldcrest is what it's called now.
Yeah, called Fieldcrest now.
Yes. Small world.
Yes. So, you got some grandkids. You got some kids, first of all. How many kids you got?
I got six.
Six kids. Wow.
Yep.
And you've got how many grandkids?
18.
18.
Yeah.
Now, I know you've got some grandkids. The older ones are in the service?
Well, yes. They have graduated. Two graduated from the Naval Academy and are now, one is a Marine and one is a Navy flight officer.
Did you have some influence on that going in?
No, not really. Their mother and father, in fact, their mother's side, they're very service oriented.
I see.
And her brother, my daughter-in-law's brother, was a Marine Corps pilot that was killed in a training exercise. And his son was 2 years old at the time, and he went through the Naval Academy and is now flying for the Marine Corps. And so I think the kids, my grandkids on that side, just sort of followed that side of the family.
Yeah, I remember I had Ronan in the studio, and he kind of talked about that, that influence. Now, from the oldest to the youngest, what are we talking age-wise?
Oh, shoot. Well, Keely was born in 2000. She was my first one.
Actually, she's 24.
So she's 24, and Patrick is 12, I think. 11.
Okay. Any more on the horizon, or are you done?
Oh, my daughters say none for them, and my daughter-in-law says if there's going to be any more, it's going to be by a different woman. So I don't think I'm waiting on great grandkids now.
Okay.
I'm borrowing grandchildren from my neighbors.
Back to the teaching ag. How's ag teaching changed over the years?
Okay, when I first started, it was all production agriculture, farming, and we were governed by the state of Illinois. We had farms to fill out. We had certain criteria we had to meet. We had to keep records on all the students' projects and acreage and livestock numbers. And we had to fill out an annual report. And we had to do
a lot of paperwork.
Home visits.
Yeah.
Home visits to students was required once per semester. And we had to timeline that. We had to date it. Time we left the place, time we got there, and time we left, record all of that. That was all outside the school district. I mean, that was state requirement.
Okay.
So that was all the training I had, and then when I hit Jerseyville, everything changed.
It did?
Yeah. The state pulled out of it. It was left up to the school district. Well, we started getting girls in agriculture, and that changed it all.
Yeah.
Now, the real thing was, we decided that
it changed because the guys wouldn't concentrate on what you're doing.
Probably. but it changed when they decided that agriculture was bigger than just production. We had agribusiness.
Ah.
So then everything that all my training in agriculture flew right out the window, and you just started all over again. So I started teaching, and then I had to start training myself.
Yeah.
So it was quite interesting.
Right from the beginning. And then how about in the years, as years went on, because you did it for 35 years. So.
Right. Oh,
what are some of the changes?
Well, I got girls in ag, and I'll tell you one thing. Girls are very competitive.
Yes.
I mean, the guys, this grade is okay.
Right.
But the girls wanted to be at the top, and they would work like the devil to get to the top. And
especially competing against the boys.
On each other.
Program.
I mean, yes, and each other. I mean, they put the whip to the boys.
Well, nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that. I had some great girls in there and some great guys.
Any other changes across the board as you progressed in ag teaching?
Well, not so much. It was just getting – well, yes. I'll go back a little on that. In your years of teaching, there's several things that can occur, and they occurred on my 20th year of teaching, because I always look at 20 years as the halfway point in your career.
Mm-hmm.
I've got the first half done, the second half to go. Well, that year, I had a farmer student of mine, Jeff Getten, came back and was teaching with me. So, and then my oldest daughter took an ag class under me. And you always wonder as a father about your children in school, if you had them in a classroom, what it would be like. Mm-hmm. And I had all of those things occur that one year, my 20th year of teaching. And I knew Jeff was going to be good because he was my student. I trained him. No, he's a good man. And then I always wondered what it would be like to have one of your children as a student. And that one, the only difference was when I would do an assignment or whatever, instead of, oh, Mr. Stork, it was, oh, Dad. and that that group of students, that her classmates, which Nick Manns was one, Sean Essinghausen was one, but then they all, every time I'd do anything, it was, oh, Dad, oh, Dad. So I became Dad instead of Mr. Stork that year.
Hey, if you're just joining us, I have Jack Stork with us here at the studio, talking about his career, teaching. And then after teaching, while you were teaching, when did you get into city politics?
Okay, I left, I was a state officer in the Ag Teachers Association for a three-year term. And when that ended, I was asked to serve on some committee boards.
Here,
the HUD program was one,
uh-huh.
and some others. And then I got understanding how the city was operating, and was always told by my cooperating teacher in college that when you go to a community, you got to be a part of that community. You can't just walk in there and stand behind your desk and forget everything else. You got to come around the desk and mingle. Be with your community. So I was always one of if you're going to be a part of something, you got to serve it. And I thought I offered my services to the city and was fortunate enough to get elected and served five terms as the city commissioner under streets. And
how was that as an additional job?
It started out as a learning situation, and I felt good in being able to serve and help where I could help and help guide the city, and I thought in my years on there that we did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm biased.
A shout out to any of the other council members that you served with. Any of them stand out in your?
Oh,
you
said
yes, 20 years. So
yes,
who would you got to give a big shout to?
Well, I have a shout out to Carl Strube. He was accounts and finance, and he had a philosophy that it became my philosophy, and I pass that on to my son,
who's the mayor.
Who's the mayor? But he said always that when you are serving your community, you got to have an open mind. You can't have blinders on. You've got to weigh the situation. You might have an opinion, but you got to make sure it's the correct one. And he said, the best thing you can do is to look at the situation and say, I'll vote for whatever's going to do the most good for the most people of Jerseyville for the longest period of time. And he said, if you do that, you can't be wrong.
That's a good philosophy.
So that's one I always passed on.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Oh, yes. Jerry Whitman was on there. Vern Miller was a member. Clarence Eaglehoff, Joe Susnick, Richard Perdun served with.
Oh, yeah.
So yes, those were the guys.
Those were the days,
yes,
my friend.
Yes.
Anything about Joe Susnick? He was I knew him pretty
yes.
well.
Yes, Joe was of that same philosophy. He loved this community. He wanted to do it the best. But no, I'm not going to say that. I'll talk to you about that later. But I'm not putting that one over the air. But Joe was a great guy. A great guy.
So 20 years, but then you decided 20 years after 20 years, you've kind of had enough, decided to...
Yes. I was getting so many demands from people that I couldn't handle what they were wanting, and they were, when the phone would, they'd get them, come on the phone, I'm a taxpayer and I demand this and that, and when I first started, they was grateful for anything you could do, and then at the end it was, is that all you're gonna do? That's you know.
Uh-huh.
And I got a little soured on it.
I see. So yeah. Things changed for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So now I hear, how about, you've been driving a bus for a while too.
Yes.
When did you get into bus driving?
Well, I got into it. Well, I was thinking of retiring. Well, the school district asked me if I was going to retire, and I thought, well, they just want me out of there, get a cheaper labor in kind of thing. But I met with a teacher retirement system, and they showed me on paper that I wasn't making any money teaching. I mean, from what I could get out of my retirement, which I couldn't understand, and I still don't understand. But I thought, well, if I'm going to quit, I can't quit just cold turkey.
Right.
I mean, I've too many answering the bells too many times. So I thought, well, what can I do? At the time, my wife was a teacher's aide at St. Francis Holy Ghost, and we never had a vacation because I was on an 11-month contract, and by the time I got done with the fairs and the conferences and conventions, I was right back at it. So we never got to go anywhere. So I thought, well, I'm going to get a job, but I want to be able to go when she's off.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, if I drive a school bus, I would be off when she's off. And if we wanted to go on vacation, we could go on vacation. So I talked to the school district and got my CDL and started subbing on the bus, driving a couple of years before I retired. So when I retired, I got a route. So as soon as I got a route and thought, well, now we can do this, then my grandchildren started coming along, and my wife decided to retire from teacher's aide and be a full-time babysitter for the grandkids. So she got the year-round job, and so we still have that vacation.
You still don't go on vacation.
Yeah, we do family vacations.
Now, when you were a bus driver, did you run a strict shop? Like, okay, everybody in you have like seats that they had to sit in and whatnot? Or?
Well, not really. Not at, I just tried to keep the kindergartners on the bus up close to me.
Yeah.
And the high schoolers towards the back, and, uh-huh. and just work it that way back. I had a great route. I had I started out with a short bus, and I had special ed, and I had students that went to Wood River High School and then over to Bethalto, and that was my run. And then I got a big bus, and that was my Nutwood run. And it was great because I had most of their moms and dads in school. So and in fact, one family had the grandpa in school. so I knew the families and yeah. everything else. So it was a great run.
Now, you're also doing Illinois Crop Improvement. What's that about?
Okay, Illinois Crop Improvement Association is a seed-owned, seed company's own company. In other words, all the seed producers, like back then in Jersey County, we had Fred Snyder Seed out here, yeah. and Rice Seed, and they raised seed crops.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Corn, beans, wheat, and they pay monies into and that organization, Illinois Crop, and their job is to field inspect those crops.
I see.
And so I got a call from them to do that, and I said, well, at first I said, no, I've got a full-time job. I can't do that. And I said, I'm an ag teacher. And they said, well, just do what you can. We'll send you stuff, and if you can't get it done, just send it back, kind of thing. So finally I agreed, and I said, but I got to have some training. And their training consisted of sending me some soybean fields to inspect in the fall of 72. And I started. I worked for them for 2 years before I ever met anybody.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, they called us all the inspectors in to Champaign for a field day. And that's where I got to meet everybody. So it was one of those things. I keep track of my mileage. I keep track of my time and expenses and turn them in. And they trusted me to no end. They'd never seen me. So it's been interesting. It was great for me to do that as a ag teacher, because it kept me up with the times in agriculture, because I saw all the new varieties coming out. I got to see them in the field. I got to talk to farmers, see what they were doing, and it was a win-win for my program as teacher.
Jack Stork, thanks for coming in. Any words of wisdom before we wrap this up? Anything? Well, you sound pretty wise. You got a lot of stuff.
Yeah, wise?
Yeah.
Well, my kids would probably say wise something else. But just thank the Lord for every day you got. I mean, I've in great health.
How old are you, Jack?
79.
Cool. Well, you are in great health.
Yeah, and I appreciate and thank God every day for that.
What's the secret for that? That you're in such good health at 79. What have you done? Staying busy.
Staying busy.
Yeah.
Staying busy.
I hear that a lot.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming in, and have a great day.
Thank you, Chris. Bye.